often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 634. I am your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty psychic agent, Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is somewhere about, hiding about. As I fucked up there coming out of the gate many times there. I'm still getting used to this new soundboard. And trying to pot that fucker down and everything is a little bit different. And you can probably tell my voice is a little bit different. It is. It sounds a little bit more sultry, I guess. More. Just. You know, I got that good sounding, sick voice. Yet I've been rocking a cold for the last several days. It's been a while. I haven't had a sick cast in a while. As a man had recorded this last night, it'd been way worse. it does suck. Like, it, you know, if I'm up and about and not laying around, it's not as bad. But, you know, at nighttime, you're trying to sleep. All that shit starts draining. All the stuff starts draining. You can't fucking. You're like hacking up a fucking lung. And just no good. I've had some interesting moments, though, at night this week. I guess I started feeling sick like Wednesday, maybe Tuesday night. But I want to say it was more of like Wednesday. Like, as I got up that morning, started to realize, like, oh shit. I think I might be getting sick. It was like Wednesday morning. And I didn't have any like cough medicine. I think I had a little bit of some cough syrup that I was able to take that morning. But like I had Werther's Originals that I kept brought with me to work. And tried to do that to keep my throat from getting just fucking, you know, just terrible, dry and just sore as shit. So I lubed it up with some Werther's Original. Try to keep the fiery throat at bay. And I guess it helped a little bit. Cough drops would have been much better thing to have. But I did not have it, and I didn't have the time to go purchase cough drops before work. And I didn't really start feeling I don't know, it was like really bad all this week, but, it's mainly been just like bad at nighttime in the morning when you first get up. Dayquil's been quite the, friend. But, yeah, I got this great voice out of it. But at nighttime, too, I've been, I haven't been staying up real late. As I just tried to sleep it off, even though sleep is not really my friend right now. I getting all hopped up on Benadryl at night to help pass, make me pass the fuck out. Because it's been tough to try to sleep when, of course, again, all the drainage is a bit of an issue. But I was watching, of course, I had talked last week about the Menendez brothers, the monsters, the Menendez brothers. Of course, they had the first season of Monster, which was the Jeffrey Dahmer. Evan Peters is Jeffrey Dahmer, which I thought Evan Peters was like, was working towards that, like his whole acting career. I mean, the whole American Horror Story stuff. It seemed like he was the perfect pick to play Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, it looks a lot like Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer was one fucked up individual, too. I mean, the whole bit where he drilled the hole in the, what was it, 15-year-old, 14-year-old? I don't know. It was a teenage boy that he fucking drilled a hole in and then put acid in his head and everything because he wanted to create a zombie. I mean, some fucked up shit, man. And just, I mean, eating people, you know, after they're dead, that's already kind of fucked up. But, I mean, it's really fucked up to be, like, keep them alive and be like, you know, I'm going to fucking turn you into a zombie by putting acid into your fucking head. Like, that is, it is truly fucked up. Anyway, so I feel like that might have been worse to watch that while I was all doped up and passing out at night. But I went with the Menendez brothers, and talking about it last week, I had forgotten, I guess, about a lot of much of the story of the Menendez brothers. Like, it was never something I really followed that much of, honestly. I've been into true crime a lot. I mean, I'm not always, that's not my go-to as far as entertainment goes. I've always found true crime to be fascinating. The Menendez brothers killed their parents 1989. So I would have been 8 years old at that point in time. I don't recall being a true crime aficionado. I mean, I was learning about true crime pretty early on. I mean, I watched horror movies nonstop. I was into horror movies before I was into true crime. And so I definitely didn't follow the Menendez brothers when the murders took place. Of course, they would go on to have two different murder trials. And over like a 7-8 year period, whatever the fuck it was. And so there, I mean, they were in the news quite a bit for, you know, that time period during the course of those two trials and whatnot. So, I mean, I was coming of age, I guess, in that time period. It was entertaining watching that series. And of course, too, while I'm fucked up on Benadryl and watching them kill their parents in this show as I'm like fucking spaced out and like, you know, going off to sleep. I don't remember having any like crazy dreams, though. there was no murderers that I recall in my dreams. Which initially I had said last week, I wasn't sure where this show was going with it. Like, cause all I did remember, of course I was a kid remembering from, hearing about it is that they were molested by their father, which, they definitely like get into in the show, but I mean, there was no concrete evidence, I guess, of this molestation, but they definitely painted the picture early on in the show that the two brothers were in love with each other. Although, kind of implies, although there's, I don't know, at first I just thought that's all that they were going for there, that these two brothers were in love with each other. But they end up going, it seems like they do give, like, all angles. I mean, it's quite a few episodes. They give you several angles on which things could have happened. Like, and there's the man... I mean it's very plausible, I guess, that Jose Menendez, the father, could have molested them, and also that Lyle and Eric also just wanted a fuck ton of money by killing them. Because I mean, after they killed their parents, I mean, they went on a big spending spree. They spent I know on the that show they say something like $700,000. I don't know if that's an accurate number. I know that in real life they did go on a spending spree. I need to watch the Netflix did just put out an actual documentary about them, and I want to watch that. Let's get some more like actual facts in there. But I mean it's hard to feel like really bad. I mean, if they were molested as children, I mean, that's fucking horrible. At the end of the day, I mean, you know, as soon as they killed their parents, I mean, they just started spending the money like left and right. And, I mean, they tried to, you know, Eric, I guess, was the one that was like writing a screenplay with a friend about murdering parents and shit. Although it does sound like it's possible they could end up getting a new fucking trial, as there was some family member, I think, which now I guess I'm gonna have to look this up, because it sound, I don't think it's definite that they are getting another trial, but I want to say there was a family member that has recently come forward with some kind of letter. Yeah, they're, I mean, it sounds like possibly they could get a new, well, it's hard to find the story I'm looking for, because a lot of it's just about this show. God damn it, I got, man, they really killed it with the ending on this Menendez Brothers show, I gotta say. And having Millie Vanilli, I love having Millie Vanilli in there. It's fucking fantastic. And ending it with Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You is fucking great. It's fucking great as the two brothers are getting separated. That is fucking awesome. Spoiler alert if you're gonna watch that. But, well, although, I mean, it's something to look forward to. Holy shit, it's fucking fantastic. Anyway, so, I mean, it does look like there's possibility that they could get some new trial. I mean, there was, I know that there was some, I guess, a former member of Menudo has come forward saying that he was molested by Jose Menendez, which would give credence to the fact that Jose Menendez was a child molester, and that, you know, quite possibly did it to his own children. However, you know, I mean, I don't know that that's enough evidence to like grant them a new trial. But also, I think there was a family member that has come forward with some letter that one of them wrote to them when they were before the murders about the molestation, I want to say. Yeah, this is on Oxygen.com. I got an article here. Why is there new interest in the Menendez case? Massive interest in the case comes with shifting attitudes over how society views crimes, especially when committed by alleged abuse victims, both men. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. Just give me the here we go. New evidence. Subject of Menendez brothers' hearings. Here we go. Prosecutors are reviewing at least two critical pieces of possible evidence that came to their attention in the appeal filed the same month as the release of Menendez plus Menudo brothers Betrayed. On October 3rd of 2024, L.A. County District Attorney George Gasson announced plans to reevaluate the case, citing that a greater level of sensitivity would have been applied if the brothers were tried today, as previously reported by Oxygen.com. One significant factor, which served as the exclusive focus in the three-part Peacock series, consists of the allegations by Menudo boy band entertainer Roy Rosello, who claimed that Jose Menendez, a music exec, drugged and raped Rosello when Rosello was just 13. According to Gasson, they were also looking at a letter Eric Menendez allegedly penned in 1988, months before the murders, when he told a cousin about his father's sexual abuse. Both Lyle and Eric have long maintained that they killed their parents out of an abundance of fear, claiming that the father threatened to kill them if they spoke about the alleged abuse. In light of the recent publicity, Lyle Menendez told the Introducing the Menendez Brothers podcast they were lifted by collective hope, per the Hollywood Reporter. I'm not as hopeless as I was as a 21-year-old, that's for sure, said the older brother. Obviously, I feel more hope when society seems to be understanding these experiences and sex abuse better. So I do have hope, and I also see a lot of people paroling who have life sentences and still going home and paroling because they've rehabilitated, and I certainly feel like my brother and I have rehabilitated. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, there you have it. Like, it's that's not a done deal, but they're saying that, like, it could possibly be a thing. I got, man, the Milli Vanilli, I gotta say, holy fuck shit. At the end, that girl, I'm gonna miss you. That was just beautiful. That was fucking fantastic. I just wish that, you know, Milli Vanilli, I mean, that shit, I mean, they had some good shit. It's just unfortunate that, you know, they didn't, I hated Milli Vanilli when I was a kid, but, anyway, as God damn it, it won't let, Rolling Stone, fuck you, Rolling Stone. Why can't I just fucking see your shit, you motherfucker? Anyway, Milli Vanilli, man. That whole thing, Girl, I'm gonna miss you. That is better than Blame It on the Rain. Still not a fan of that one. I mean, you gotta love Milli Vanilli though. It's just those two dudes that were not singing the songs or writing them. I don't think they were involved in any of the singing or writing of it. It's just, I mean, the look they had with the dread. I don't even think those are real dreads. I think those are fake dreads. I could be wrong. But they're Milli Vanilli. Everything just seems fake. I'm just guessing. Anyway, I guess I'll read a little bit of this article. Milli Vanilli, on Rolling Stone. Here it says, Milli Vanilli are hotter than ever right now. What the hell is going on? Blame it on Ryan Murphy. Not the rain. Monsters and the Menendez Brothers. It's 2024 and America's madly in love with Milli Vanilli. How did this happen? The 80s Euroglitz pop duo are enjoying the year's weirdest revival, thanks to Ryan Murphy. His Monsters, the Lyle and Eric Menendez story, tells the true crime story of the rich Beverly Hills brothers who gunned down their parents in the summer of 89. They bond over the music of Milli Vanilli, who ruled the radio that summer. Since Monsters, the duo's streaming numbers are booming. Blame It on the Rain and Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You just debuted on this week's TikTok Top 50 on Billboard. It might sound too bizarre to be real, but girl, you know it's true. sweet vindication for Milli Vanilli, the most controversial pop stars of their day. Fabrice Morvan and Rob Pilatus were two Munich club kids. Black European dandies scoring excellent post-hip-hop MTV bubblegum bangers. Dancing like acrobats and dressing like Cher. They had it all. The flashiest hair. The tightest pants. They scored three number one hits and won the Grammy for Best New Artist. What could go wrong? The crash came when their producer revealed Rob and Fab didn't sing any of the vocals on their records. They got stripped of their Grammy, the only time that's ever happened. Their hits got banished from radio, never to return until now. Both were crushed by the lip-syncing disgrace. Rob Pilatus became a tragic drug casualty, dying in 1998. Imagine walking in my shoes, Morvan told Rolling Stone last year, having to carry that ball and chain for years. Morvan told his story in Milli Vanilli, the 2023 documentary by director Luke Corum. But the post-Monsters boom is something new, according to Billboard. The Vanilli catalog had a 114% streaming increase after the Netflix series premiered. Blame It on the Rain jumped 68%. Girl, You Know It's True, 32.5%. And Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You, an astounding 258%. Which I gotta say, Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You with those two... I mean, that fucking... It couldn't have ended on a more perfect note there. Which is not the exact ending. There's one more scene after that. Anyway, Monsters is the true crime anthology drama from Murphy and Ian Brennan. Season 1 chronicled serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer. Season 2 tells the tale of Menendez brothers. Eric and Lyle were 18 and 21 when they killed their parents, Jose and Kitty Menendez, although they spelled it Melendez on here. Anyway, yeah, we've gone through that part. Here we go. In one of the strangest scenes, Lyle plays a Milli Vanilli slow jam at the parents' memorial service. Girl, I'm gonna miss you. which I forgot they played it early in the season. It's better at the end, which really creeps out the funeral crowd. You might suspect Ryan Murphy is overdoing it, but it turns out this really happened. Biographer, oh man, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome that they played that at the memorial service. okay, you might suspect Ryan Murphy is overdoing it, but it turns out this really happened. Biographer Robert Rand, author of the Menendez Brothers, has confirmed several Milli Vanilli songs were played at the GGA memorial for Jose and Kitty Menendez. On August 25th, 1989, as Murphy told Vanity Fair, the choice of Lyle playing a Milli Vanilli song at his parents' memorial, you really can't make up. Oh, man, that's fucking beautiful. In Monsters, the brothers sing along with Blame It on the Rain in the car radio after buying the shotguns. Within days of the murders, they're spending fortunes on Rolex watches, cars, and stereo equipment. The Vanillis are all over the soundtrack, serving as a Greek chorus narrating the family tragedy. But Murphy uses the music brilliantly. In the final scene, the brothers get sentenced to life without parole in separate prisons. Lyle and Eric exchange a final moment of eye contact as the vans drive them away to the sound of Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You, which was just fucking perfect. Since then, Vanilla Mania is off the charts. There's even a brand new reggae version of Blame It on the Rain from the Grammy-winning producer Nomad, I guess. But I guess you call it? Anyway, featuring a cameo from Fab Morvan. Nomad is in the house. Fab is in the house. We about to make history, bro. Songwriter Diane Warren appears in the video. This would have been unthinkable just a few years ago when Milli Vanilli were demonized as everything wrong with pop music. They're still the only act that's ever had to return their Grammy. Did you hear what happened to the award? Morvan asked me last year. It's broken and sitting in the Grammy Museum. They broke it and put it on a shelf. I thought, oh my God, they went that far. First things first, absolutely nobody in 1989 thought Rob and Fab were doing the singing, and nobody cared. Look, it was the 80s. Nobody thought Bruce Willis could really climb skyscrapers. If you went back in time to 1989 and told the average pop fan that Milli Vanilli were lip-syncing, their reply would have been, no shit, Sherlock. If you really wanted to shock people, you'd tell them, someday Paula Abdul will be chosen as the judge of a TV singing contest. But the industry got really outraged over Milli Vanilli because they were a radical new pop aesthetic. Rob and Fab were a swirl of different racial and cultural signifiers, turning the underground hip-hop beat of Paid in Full into the trendy Euro sleaze of Girl, You Know It's True. Live, they added, Girl, You Know It's True. I mean, that's good stuff. Blame It on the Rain, I'm not such a fan of. But Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You, Girl, You Know It's True, holy fuck. Anyway, good lord, this article, geez, I'm gonna stop with this article. This is articles, just keeps going on. This is thankfully I'm not making money off this podcast. Anyone can't come after me for this. Just reading their whole article. Anyway, big long article. It's pretty awesome that Milli Vanilli is making a comeback because of the Menendez brothers, man. The Menendez brothers. The most famous parent murderers that I can think of of my lifetime. You know, I wasn't alive for Lizzie Borden. Man, I cannot get Milli Vanilli out of my fucking head now. It is just, I mean, it is stuck in my head. It will not stop. I'm just looking at these fucking photos of the Menendez brothers in court and fucking Lyle and his fucking toupee, man. That toupee is so terrible. But it does appear now that Lyle is now shaved his head and just keeps it bald, which I would think being in prison for that long period of time, you'd eventually like, okay, I'm going to stop with this toupee shit. Eric doesn't look all that different. I mean, he's aged. But Lyle, it's unfortunate that he doesn't have the toupee, actually. I mean, the toupee, I mean, his... He's not the most attractive human being. He's also, you know, he's a fucking murderer, but there's that. I guess Eric was always the better looking one. Which, you know, in the show, it does kind of end on the note that it kind of goes back and forth as to who really came up with the idea. But, I mean, it really ends on the note that, you know, Eric was the one that was like, yeah, we're doing this, motherfucker. Lyle's got a creepy fucking smile, though. That smile is just like, oh, fuck. This dude took a shotgun to his mom and his dad. I do get kind of more of, like, now that I'm looking over these photos of the two, if I was, you know, completely judging off of looks here, which they look totally different in the, which, you know, there's like probably a 7-year difference, from one trial to the next. I definitely get at least the early photos of him. I mean, shit, dude, Eric looks very Ted Bundy-ish. I mean, he looks like the fucking demon that the gaze on his eyes is just soulless. I mean, if we're going strictly off looks here, I'm going to be like, yeah, guilty. But, you know, the show really seemed like, you know, Lyle, at least early on, again, early on may seem like Lyle, the one with the toupee, the older brother, was the one really the hothead that was like forcing it. But Eric does look, in this photo, though, oh, man, he does look a lot like Ben Stiller. Eric does. As Oh, I want to know. Oh, I want to know this. Is mysterious owner of Menendez Brothers murder home revealed? I want to know about this. Please tell me about this. And how much is it going for? This is a, I mean, it's got to be a fucking fortune because I mean, they lived in what, California? Beverly Hills, I guess. The owner, this is off of Realtor.com. Mysterious owner of Menendez Brothers Murder House revealed as Netflix releases new documentary featuring Lyle and Eric. The owners of the Menendez Brothers' infamous Beverly Hills Murder House have been revealed 7 months after the controversial property was purchased for a whopping $17 million. Killer siblings Lyle and Eric Menendez have found themselves thrown to the spotlight during the past few... Yeah, we know this. The family's former property has become something of a twisted tourist attraction in the wake of the series release, with neighbors reportedly calling in the police to try to stop the influx of Netflix viewers who have flooded their streets in the hopes of catching a glimpse of the home. However, that flow of fascinated fans looks unlikely to ebb anytime soon, with Netflix doubling down on the intrigue surrounding Lyle and Eric by releasing a new documentary that features recorded phone interviews between the siblings and the film's director, Alejandro Hartman. So, man, I'll get some more action in that. I'll get plenty more Menendez Brothers news with more docu-series here. Anyway, the simply titled The Menendez Brothers documentary was released October 7th. Promises viewers an entirely new perspective on the siblings' case. So I guess different than the fictionalized version I saw, just finished watching. Speaking from behind bars at the Richard J. Donovan Correctional Facility in San Diego, where they both are serving life sentences, Lyle and Eric share their perspectives on what led them to shoot their parents inside the walls of their opulent home. But what of people who took on the controversial property? That's what I came here to find out, people. While mystery has surrounded the identity of the buyers who purchased the mansion for $17 million in March, exactly 28 years to the day after the brothers were convicted, records reveal that the deal was arranged through an LLC called... Oh, Agent Fox Mulder's here. He's wanting to say hi. You got something to say about the Menendez brothers, buddy? All right, he's going to sit in my lap as we're... going to look over the property here. Anyway, LLC called La Elm. The LLC, which is located in Beverly Hills and was created on February 7th of 2024, is listed as the buyer, with records indicating that it's owned by the Lahijanas, a wealthy Iranian family who live in Los Angeles. Which I was assuming it was that was Spanish, but I don't know how you would pronounce that if it's Iranian. The family did not return requests. Comment. Anyway. I mean, it still looks fucking nice. Basically, yeah. There's some people bought it. I mean, it looks like a nice fucking house. Living in a house like that, I mean, I wouldn't think be like, you know what? I'm going to fucking murder somebody in this place. As, I mean, would I be able to live in a house like that? I mean, I don't believe in, like, ghosts and shit. But I don't know. I feel a little weird being in a house where like, fucking somebody murdered their parents. It's a little weird. I have seen Hellraisers, you know. Especially, like, the one and two. I mean, I've seen pretty much all the Hellraisers. But, like, especially, like, one and two. I remember... there being, basically like bodies left in, if they're murdering people on like in the, okay, Hellbound, Hellraiser 2. There is, the one character that gets, reawakened, I guess, by someone being, murdered on this mattress that they died on. And then it was the woman. I can't remember her name. Oh, no. Agent Fox Mulder's got my toilet paper that I'm blowing my nose with. He's going to... Don't fuck up the toilet paper, man. Anyway. dude, come on. anyway, yeah. You're fucking up my concentration, man. Some co-host you are. This is he is really going after the toilet paper roll. Man, don't shred that thing. You're gonna make a mess. Make a mess of it. Out of the room here, homie, which I completely lost where I was going with any of that. I've still got fucking Milli Vanilli just rocking in my head as Agent Mulder is now going after the fucking mic stand. And damn it, I got fucking Eric and Lyle like staring at me on the computer screen. The image search as now he's checking out. He's gonna jump off the desk as he's hitting everything. Oh, there we go. He's off the desk. Now he's probably gonna create more mischief down below. Maybe start biting my legs or something. Anyway, yeah, I completely digressed. I apologize for losing track of whatever the fuck I was talking about. There's only so much of a rabbit hole you can go down with the Menendez brothers, you know? I almost feel sorry for them in a way. I mean, spending that much time in jail. I mean, if they really did get molested as children, which, I mean, it sounded like there's quite possibly that could have been, but at the same time, they did some, you know, they tried to monetize off murdering their parents. Like, even during the trials and such. As Agent Fox Mulder, no, don't fuck with the cords. Now he's fucking with my headphone cords. He's not helping out much tonight. He's being more of a distraction. Anyway, yeah. Damn it. Oh, there's from the cable guy. Ben Stiller. Basically making fun of the Menendez brothers. Pretty great. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, you know, they tried to, you know, capitalize off their parents' murder. Which, you know, even if they're, you know, it's not something that should be totally really celebrated, that it's very much an 80s thing, though. I mean, it's like the era of cocaine and everything, and like they're killing their parents and then, you know, just like fucking buying Rolexes, probably doing coke, you know. I mean, they look like two dudes that were fucking, I mean, they could have been fucking. I was going to add more to that, and then I just paused at fucking. I was going to say, they look like two dudes that were, you know, fucking going out for an eight ball, at least, you know, a couple nights a week, you know, as, very much the aesthetic of the show that I just finished, of course, the Monsters show. I mean, it's very much the aesthetic of the 80s, as they've got just the whole look, the cars, the pastels, the very much Miami Vice of it all, as yeah, that's, I think I need to just take this down here, this image search, and not look at these two, because that's really just fucking my shit all up. As I still am on, like, Dayquil, and, yeah. Maybe my brain's not functioning like it normally would. Not that it does anymore. I mean, it's an old brain. It's got brain rot is a serious thing. Just watch out for brain rot. I feel like there was other things I was going to bring up in this. Oh man. It's sad to say, man, the Blues are no longer undefeated. They lost last night. It was heartbreaking. They had two wins and no losses. Now they got two and one. I guess that's still a winning record, but you know, they've got like, or was that only one game? Fuck, I don't know. One and one. I was so excited to say they had they were undefeated when you know they got that first win. I didn't watch the last game. Let's see here, what do we got here? Yeah, they're two. They've won two, lost one. That last game was a little rough. But hey, next week I'm going to go see the Blues in person. And that's going to be fun. My good buddy John from work, we're going to go there and we're going to watch the Blues play the Hurricanes, I think it is. Is it Carolina? I got a ticket to, I should be going with Shelley in Star Wars night. That one's January 3rd. We got a while for that one, which I fucked up. I was trying to get the fucking Star Wars jersey. But I didn't realize how they had their shit set up. Anyway. But yeah, it's the Carolina Hurricanes. That's, that is happening, next Saturday, the 19th. And so, we'll get to go to that. And it'll be my first game of the season. I know I'm at least going to one other one. I'm hoping to go to like two or three others. We'll see what happens. It's a long season. There's plenty of games. And I know it's been too long. It's been too long. And unfortunately, they won't be undefeated when I see them. But hopefully they still have a winning record by that point. I don't know how many games they have between now and then. I would imagine a couple. My stomach is making noises. Okay, so they lost to Vegas. It looks like they've got two other games. They're playing Seattle, the Kraken, again. On Tuesday, and then they're playing the New York Islanders on Thursday. So, I mean, hopefully they get two dubs out of that. Or at least split the difference there, you know? Go 1-1. But either way, as long as they keep some juice ready for Saturday, and come away with a win when we go up there. As hopefully I don't end up spending too much on like jerseys or anything while I'm there. I don't plan on buying another jersey or anything. But you know, they sometimes have some really good merch, and it's hard to pass that shit up. You know, when you got really awesome merch. Blues merch, they're known to have some good shit. You know. Cardinals, you know, could be hit or miss, but I mean, blue stuff, the hockey merch, I don't know. I've always just hockey in general. I mean, a solid merch, man. Though also, you know, the hockey merch tends to be more expensive. It's kind of the downside. You pay for quality, man. You pay for quality. I almost like they do have some really good deals. Like if you sign up for the Blues app, you can do like purchase packages, you know, for tickets and whatnot. There's like a hat trick deal where you're doing three games a month and stuff, and you get a discounted tickets that way. I don't think I can afford three games a month though. That's a bit far. I mean, it'd be kind of cool, I guess, if I got some friends involved and, you know, they, you know, several friends and we just kind of like split it up, you know, and then cut the costs, split the cost sort of situation. But just me and like a friend or two or whatever, like it's, you know, having to go drive up to the game and yada, yada. It's a lot to go to spend three games a month. But I mean, if that's all I did, not a bad deal. Yeah, I mean, if that's all I wanted to do that month. Problem is, you know, I do other things. I have other things I have to spend money on that aren't the Blues, unfortunately. Anyway. Past the Blues game, I'm thinking, I don't really have anything else really planned. I'm going to scare some children, probably closer to the end of the month, dresses, for a haunted house. Jackman's son, Marcellus, is, birthday party should be coming up, and I don't know what weekend they're going to do it yet. but they're going to be scaring, we're going to be scaring some children for that one. Dressing up for that one. And I don't know that he's going to be doing that a whole lot anymore. Because, I mean, he did just turn 14. And I don't see him doing haunted house birthday parties much anymore, you know? That's a sad, sad realization. I remember the last time I trick-or-treated, sort of trick-or-treated, I was 15, which I wasn't really trick-or-treating at that point. I guess I trick-or-treated at 14. I'm not sure. Maybe not. I went out for trick-or-treating. That was like the last time I went out for it. I'm thinking, yeah. Anyway, I guess that was the last time I like went out for trick-or-treating. Anyway. I dressed up and it was Jackman's brother and sister. They're a few years younger than us. We actually went with them, like, trick-or-treating. But we weren't actually, like, getting candy and shit from people. It was just a reason, to dress up. And his dad. We were, like, the richer neighborhoods. And his dad, Joe, was, it was, like, the rich. Probably the richest neighborhoods, like in Washington, or at least at the time. And we were going in those neighborhoods because, you know, that's where you get the good candy. They're going to hand out like full candy bars and such. And Joe being Joe, he, while all these kids are trick or treating, lights are on all over the place. And it's not like he made any effort to conceal what he was doing. Joe just stood in somebody's yard and pissed in the yard as trick-or-treaters going by, just like no big deal. My recollection of it is not the greatest. I don't remember anybody like saying anything to him or anything, but you know, you would think like that, like that. So I'm pretty sure people saw him, you know. I don't know if there was like mothers hiding their children's eyes, you know. I don't remember if that was the case or not. I just remember him like just pissing in somebody's yard. Some rich person's yard. I mean, I thought it was just funny. In the cojones. on him for that. That was I respected that. And that he just did not give a fuck. He's just gonna piss these people here. But yet he's taking his kids to get candy from these people. You know, I don't remember too. I'm guessing it was probably a house that didn't have their porch light on. You know, more of like a fuck you for not giving my kids candy. But maybe they weren't. Maybe they did have the light on. I wish I remembered it better. I'm going to have to ask Jackman about that next time I come over there. Like, that's something I very specifically remember, is just him just pissing in a yard. Which reminds me of being in Ireland. Walking down the street in Dublin when I was just trying to... Well, I don't know that I was really trying to find anything. I was just kind of wandering, you know, trying to just take in the city, I guess. But I didn't want to look like I was lost or anything. As I started walking down the street and I realized, like, oh, this isn't like one of the better streets anymore. And that all the, like, because I was near the Temple Bar district where, like, the real popular area, touristy area. And I guess I ventured off the Temple Bar a little bit. Went down the wrong side street. There was only one other person on the side street. It was a what appeared to be a homeless fellow. And he just started pissing on the sidewalk, which, you know, did make me kind of feel like being back at home. But I was just like, oh, I don't want to make it seem like I don't know where I'm going and then just like turn around and like leave because I saw this dude piss. I'm going to pretend like this is no big deal. But, you know, I'd seen plenty of grown men piss on, you know, sidewalks and shit before. So I was like, yeah, ain't no thing. I'll just keep going. I know where I'm going. Nothing happened after that. But, yeah, there was... Trick-or-treating in Ireland. They go together well. I don't know. They all coalesce around piss. There may have been alcohol in Joe at that night for the trick-or-treating. So, which I'm guessing that homeless fella was probably a tad inebriated. So, you know, there was possibly some connections there. I'm just guessing. You know, most people I've known that have pissed on sidewalks or on yards were drunk. That's, I mean, maybe that's me profiling, you know? Just being anti-drunk. I may have pissed in a yard or two while being inebriated, but not while people were trick-or-treating. I just want to point that out. I've never been drunk. I've been drunk on Halloween. But I haven't been outside trick-or-treat, around trick-or-treaters and, like, pissing. That's not something that I've done. But I've been to Halloween parties where there was drinking involved. And I don't believe I pissed in their yard, though. I don't think. I pissed in their toilet, I'm pretty sure. Many times. But, yeah, this cold thing is wearing my voice ragged. It's just like that throat is was sounded good. Now it's kind of fucking hurting. And I want to pop some fucking cough drops, but I don't really want that in the audio, in the mix, you know, the clack, 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 clack shit while I'm talking. Just smashing that shit up against my teeth. That's just no bueno. No bueno. Man, yeah. I was trying to think back, like, man, my brain, again, like, this shit has, like, really wrecked me, like, kicked my ass being sick. Like, I feel like there was you know, plenty of other shit I was going to talk about tonight that have completely abandoned my brain. As I'm starting to sweat a little bit, though. That's good. That's, if I can force myself to sweat, I've always found while being sick, that that helps get rid of it quicker, I think. Sweat it out, man. Sweat it out. And I know I've done, I do a little things to help me. A runny nose can be a real pain in the ass, especially if you're going to try to work while being sick. I find that vapor rub works really good for just a little dab, rubbing that around your nostrils to keep the nose open and free from just the fucking snot just like pouring out completely. That definitely helps out a lot. Cough drops are really good, but I go with the sugar ones, man. But, you know, they tend to leave a nasty film in my teeth after having too many of them, which I'll take them, like, nonstop so I don't have this just feeling like I have, like, shards of glass ripping through my throat, you know? I'll take the film in my teeth over that. Problem is, though, the other day, Wednesday night after I got off work, I went to the store. And I was like, all right, let's load up on cough drops. I was not feeling it, man. I was just like, I want to get in the store and fucking leave immediately, you know? So I was in and out. And when I bought the cough drops, I didn't realize it until I got fucking at home, or maybe even the next day at work, I realized I got the sugar-free ones. Like, no, fuck no. Sugar-free, whether it be candy or cough drops, man, that's going to make fuck my stomach all up. That's no good. I'm going to have like the shits. Or just feel like I need to shit. it's no good. I don't know what the fuck they substitute the sugar with, but it fucks my stomach all up. And I realized that, you know, at least in candy, there's, you know, various things. The cough drops probably more of the same thing of what's in the candy. I mean, cough drops aren't that fucking different. Either way, my tummy don't like it. My tummy don't like it. Yeah, it was unpleasant. And I couldn't stop taking them, like, at work, man. Because my throat was really bugging the shit out of me. But the last, like, hour or two at work, Thursday, was pretty goddamn rough. Because to avoid just having this really sore fucking throat, I'm like popping these cough drops that are also making my stomach all fucked up. And, you know, I wasn't just going to leave. No. I'm a masochist. I like pain. I fucking dealt with it, you know. I dealt with it. And then I went back to the store that night and I got the right fucking cough drops, and I can pop those all goddamn day. It just gives me that fucking awful film in my teeth. But definitely helps with the throat. I go with the mentholated cough drops. That's my go-to. That helps also prevent my nose from fucking just oozing out shit all over, like, all the time. I go with some Halls mentholated, and that's my poison when it comes to fighting off the old cold. And I tried the Delcium cough syrup. I think that's how you pronounce. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. It's got acetaminophen, the shit that's like in Tylenol, thrown in there as well. That stuff works not bad as far as cough syrup goes. Dayquil, been popping that. The Dayquil seems to help out a lot. Dayquil is, I've been getting very medicated. Very, very medicated. And then when I want to pass out at nighttime, it's like Benadryl. And the Benadryl, I mainly just take it a lot just because it, one, it helps me sleep, but also just fucking allergies is just ridiculous. But Benadryl helps dry me out, so I'm not just fucking gagging on phlegm. And that's been one thing that I've been worried about at work is I sneeze a lot in general, but when I've been like having a cold or something, I find I'm going to sneeze more. And it's been dangerous. Like, I don't want to sneeze because I'm waiting. I got all kinds of, like, I've got phlegm loaded at all times. I'm running around with a loaded gun, you know, up my nose. And one good sneeze, and it's going to fucking explode, you know. There's going to be... Thankfully, I only sneezed a couple times at work, but like I was able to, you know, I did the Dracula thing where I just like cover it with my shoulder. But as far as I know, I haven't like just shot phlegm all over myself or anything else. I have done that before, though. I do recall when I went to Chicago with Toddy and Trebejo, I was sick on that trip. Or no, maybe it wasn't. I think it might not have been on the trip to Chicago, but it was around that time. I was sick. I know on that trip to Chicago, on one of the trips to Chicago. Either way, I was driving with one or both of them, and I think I coughed and sneezed, and got it all over my fucking hand when I was driving, and I didn't have a fucking napkin or anything, and like so I fucking I grossed them out by like licking it off my hand. I think I might have spit it out or I probably just swallowed it. I was like, I don't know, I didn't want to fucking wipe it on the car, you know. It was disgusting. I was like, what was I going to do? You know, I was driving and I had all of my, again, no paper towels or anything. Nothing to wipe my hand with. What am I going to do? Just leave it on my hand? You know, these are the things that happen when you're in life or death situations and you've got seconds to react. Sometimes you have to lick the phlegm up. That's all I'm saying. Sometimes you got to lick the phlegm up. And to me, it wasn't as disgusting as it were. It probably looked to them. Because to me, it was like, dude, it was just in my body. Like, what does it matter? I'm not going to get myself sick off licking my own phlegm. I mean, there might have been something on my hand. But, you know, I probably would have already had that in my... I don't think I got sicker after that. Just saying. I mean, I was feeling pretty rough already by the time I licked the phlegm off. Anyway. Yeah, I think we're about done here. Because I've just basically covered that I was sick and that the Menendez brothers were really big into Milli Vanilli. Girl, I'm gonna miss you. Oh, God damn it. I almost feel like I need to, before I go, perhaps I need to, no, I'm not going to do that. I was going to pull up Girl, I'm going to miss you. Like, I just can't do it. I can't play out to Girl, I'm going to miss you. If you want that, you're just going to have to watch Monsters on Netflix and get that on it. I mean, it is, Ryan Murphy, you killed it with that scene. With they're both driving in different directions to Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You. Fantastic. Fantastic. And makes me totally forget the fact that they murdered their parents. Anyway, so I guess, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.